Morning, everybody. If you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we will have this in a few minutes. We're not going to read that yet. We'll have it also on the screen. But if you want to open up your Bibles to John 14, we are going to be reading here in just a few minutes out of the New Living Translation. So if you are reading this off of a device, you probably get to choose the translation that you get to read. We're going to read out of the NLT, New Living Translation. So we'll get to that here in just a couple minutes, but you can at least start working your way there if you want to. We are, again, my name is Josh Jones. I'm one of the pastors here at Redemption, and I've kind of been battling a pretty bad cold all week, so we'll be kind of hacking the whole time, and it'll be really great. If you are new or newer to Redemption, we are in a summer series right now called The Spirit of the Disciplines. The Spirit of the Disciplines. What is a normal way that you hear within church culture the word discipline used? Not the spirit of the disciplines, but what's normal terminology that you've heard? Spiritual disciplines, right? Anyone want to help us understand why we would not just have a sermon series called Spiritual Disciplines, but actually change it to The Spirit of the Disciplines? What have you been hearing so far? Why would we give that as the title? Okay. More concerned with motive than just the action. Okay, yeah, both of these are right on so far. Anything else anyone wants to add? I think, you know, our goal ultimately was not just to highlight the things that we should be doing as Christians, but rather showing God gave us these practices, these regular rhythms that help lead us to our joy. And these things were never meant to be an end unto themselves. Let's start working a little bit with a definition of spiritual disciplines. What would you guys say is a definition of those? Kind of been working with one throughout the past few sermons, but what do you guys think? What is spiritual disciplines? What are spiritual disciplines? What's that? What are spiritual disciplines? Right. What's kind of a definition? He's out. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, that's really good. That kind of really aligns with I think we actually have this up here. I think the one definition that Scott's been using is intentional practices that help orient our lives together around the gospel for both our joy and for the joy of our cities. What do you guys think of that? These are these intentional practices, these regular rhythms that help orient our lives together around the gospel for both our joy and the joy of our cities. So far in our series, we have covered Bible reading / meditation, prayer, and fasting. And so this week what we're going to do is we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at the rhythm or the practice or the discipline of listening to the Spirit. Listening to the Spirit. Let me just make a quick point before we jump into our passage, another point about these disciplines. Listen, you always do what you love. Let me say that again. You always do what you love. You do something, what you love, so that you can have what? Joy, right? I mean, just take this even out of the realm of thinking about God for a second, just think about anything. You do whatever it is that you love so that you can be happy, so that you can have joy. And what do you always do with your joy? You express it and share it. I don't know how many of you out there are, maybe you're big into the exercise scene, okay? That whole world, you know? I'm not. So, you know, you either work out or you run or you walk or whatever it is that you do. My wife, Andrea, and some of her friends have a time that they regularly work out during the week. And, you know, I've been down there while they were working out, and it is wicked intimidating. Okay? They would all kick my butt. And there are these regular practices that they go through in working out. And, you know, there is a reason that people do whatever it is that they do. There is a reason that people work out. There is a reason that people exercise. There's a reason you do anything. And so, like, even with that whole concept of exercising, you know, if you are into that scene of, like, exercise, the reason that you do that is because you love something. You either love the way that you look because of it, which isn't wrong. You love the way that you feel after you work out, which isn't wrong. You love the health that you receive from it, which isn't wrong. And because that you love something, you do something so that you can have the joy of what you want. Does that make sense? It's interesting, 1 Timothy chapter 4 talks about disciplining ourselves to godliness. And the word discipline is from this Greek word, gymnazo. Okay? I know you really wanted to know that this morning. Okay? It's, what English word comes out of that, do you think? Gymnasium, gym, okay? The whole idea is discipline yourself to godliness. It's exercise, like do something to practice things to help form your godliness. And so that word is kind of basically exercise. So you do what you love. And if God is someone that we love, we are going to do things to better understand his love and receive the life of joy that he has planned for us. When we do spiritual exercises, practices, it helps us better understand who God is, what he has done, who we are, and how we live out who we are in the world that God has put us in. John chapter 14. Let's look at this particular spiritual discipline, if you will, this practice of listening to the Spirit. This will be up on the screen for you as well. We're going to start in verse 12, and again, this is out of the New Living Translation. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me, and because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Let's jump down to verse 25. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will what? He will teach you everything and will what? Remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again. And if you really love me, you would be happy that I am going to the Father who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. Verse 30, I don't have much more time to talk to you, because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me, so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. We're going to jump now to chapter 16, okay? We'll do this right up here on the screen if you want to do that where you're at. Chapter 16, just a couple verses here as well. Jesus says, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So what is the Spirit going to do there? He's going to guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will what? Tell you what he has heard. He will what? Tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will what? Tell you whatever he receives from me. These passages are going to help us better understand how to listen to the Holy Spirit. But a little bit of context first for our passage I think will help us. So far in the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit has not really been talked about a whole lot by Jesus in large amounts. And so here, Jesus in our passage is nearing the end of his life, and he is giving kind of a parting message to his followers. And so the context of our passage is this group of people that have been following Jesus. They've been trusting that he is exactly who he has told them that he is. They've been listening to his teaching. They've been believing he was the Messiah, the one who was going to come and make all the world right again, all of the mess made right. They were believing this was him. And so what happens is they've been following him. He's been teaching them. He's been guiding them. He's the Savior of the world. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes to them and says, hey, I've got news. I'm going to leave. And they're like, well, that's going to be a problem. Like, you've been telling us that you're someone. You're here to save the day. What do you mean you're going to go? That's a really big concern. And so they are starting to worry. In the beginning of John chapter 14, where we started, there's all this worry and anxiety from them. What are they going to do without Jesus? Like, how does all this work without him? And so Jesus, in John chapter 14, in these following chapters, he's comforting them and telling them that they are not actually going to end up alone. He says, yes, I know I'm leaving, but you don't have anything to worry about because I'm going to send someone to you. He's going to send someone in his place. But this is certainly not just anyone that he's going to send to them. This was going to be God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus was going to leave and he was going to replace himself with God, the Holy Spirit. The one who actually had been filling Jesus, the one who had been guiding Jesus, the one who had been teaching Jesus, the one who had been empowering Jesus to actually fulfill his mission on earth. Jesus says, the one that has actually been in me, the one that has been the power, the one that has been the teacher, the one that has been all of these things for me, you don't have anything to worry about. I'm going to leave, but the one that was in me, the power that was enabling Jesus to be true and full humanity, like real and true and full humanity. I cut out 5 pages of notes this morning, about 15 minutes before this message, on all that the Spirit was for Jesus, because we just don't have time to talk about that. Jesus was truly human, and people want to minimize his humanity to make sure that they don't lose his divinity. But Jesus was fully God, but he was fully man. And the way that he could act as fully man is Jesus gave up the use of his divinity to the power of the Holy Spirit. And so all of Jesus' life is actually, everything you see is the power of the Spirit in him. Truly miraculous life is actually fueled by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, I'm going to leave, but that power is going to come. That person is going to come to you. In fact, later in John, after Jesus is murdered, he's hung on a cross, he's in the tomb. 3 days later, Jesus comes back to life. He comes roaring back to life. And one of the very first things that he says to his followers before he departs for heaven, he says in John chapter 2, he says, and again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am what? Sending you. Then in verse 22, it says, he breathed on them and said what? Anyone remember what he says? Receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes out of the grave. He's alive and says, all right, I'm actually going now. Like, I'm leaving. And he says, as the Father has sent me, a normal human filled with an extraordinary Holy Spirit, so I'm sending you as normal humans filled with an extraordinary Holy Spirit. He breathes on them and says, so receive the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is saying, all that the Spirit was for me, he will now be for you. All. Listen, all that the Holy Spirit was in the life of Jesus, he would now be in the life of Jesus' followers. That's absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Without this morning going into all that the Spirit would be for the followers of Jesus, I just want to zero in on one aspect for this morning. And I want to look back at the passage. So, Jacob, if we could put John 14 back up. And I know that it's not all up here, so we may have to move around a little bit. You may need to use your Bibles again, because I want to highlight a couple things this morning that I think will be really helpful when we think about the discipline of listening to the Holy Spirit. Based upon John 14 and John 16, what are some things that the Spirit is going to do? What is he going to do for them? Okay? What will he do for them? Okay, let's write out some of these things. What is the Spirit going to do for them from John 14 into John 16? What are some of the things that we were highlighting? Okay, he's going to teach. Help, yep. Yep, those are things that he is. So it says he is the advocate, which would mean he would advocate. What are some of the things that he's actually saying the Spirit is going to do? Okay, he's going to lead, teach. Yep, he's going to also, it said, remind, right? Tell, guide, yep. What was the other one I put? I mean, this one is obviously within these, but it's actually said. We'll stop with those for right now. These are the things that the Spirit is said. So when Jesus says, I'm leaving, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, here is what the Spirit is actually going to do for the followers of Jesus. He's going to teach, he's going to lead, he's going to remind, he's going to tell, he's going to guide, he's going to speak. Those are very, how would you describe all of those? What's that? Active. What else? Uh-huh, it's got information. Communicative, absolutely. I mean, it almost feels audible. Doesn't mean that's what it's going to be, but I'm just saying, like, there's this Holy Spirit is not just some force or some power. This seems to be, he is a what? He is a person. He is a person that's going to do something in the life of his followers. Okay, so that's what he's going to do. This guy's kind of running out. Let's see if this one's any better. What do you think he's going to, what will he say? Okay, so he's going to say the things that Jesus has taught them. What are the things that Jesus has taught them? The truth? That's absolutely true. Let's keep describing the truth. Like, what is it that Jesus has been teaching them as a whole? What does he use all the time? He uses stories. He uses little stories to teach about what? A big story, right? I mean, the kingdom of God, like the story of God. Jesus has been, throughout his ministry, using all of these small stories to highlight and to describe this really big story that's been going on. So I would say, what is it that he's going to say? He's going to teach, remind, tell, guide, speak about the story. We'll summarize it into the story of God. In essence, I would say Jesus' teachings could be summarized into his teaching about God's story and how his life particularly fit into that story. That he would be the one that would be the rescuer of the world that God wanted to reclaim for himself. And so if the Spirit is given to remind us of all that Jesus said, we know he's regularly going to be speaking, reminding, guiding us into God's story. What else is the Spirit going to say? What else is he going to remind of? Okay? I would actually, you're exactly right, I would actually still put that underneath this, within that story, that framework around what has happened, what is happening, and what is to come. I would actually say, if he's going to also remind us of everything that Jesus told us within that story, I think the Spirit is also going to remind us of who we are within that story. In fact, John chapter 1 tells us this. It says Jesus is actually talking to his followers, and he says, "But to all who have received him, those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become God's what? Children." Galatians chapter 4, the New Testament authors pick up on this and say, and because we are his children, God has sent his Spirit into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. The Spirit has been given to God's children, who Jesus says that we are, so that our hearts are crying out, Dad, Dad. Now you are no longer a slave, but you are God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Romans chapter 8 picks up on this. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. The Spirit is regularly reminding the people of God who they are in the story of God. Okay, so we would call this, he's going to remind us of our identity. And I think the last thing that we'll see of what the Spirit is going to say, he's going to talk to us about the story, he's going to remind us of the story, he's going to talk to us, he's going to remind us, he's going to speak to us, he's going to guide us into our identity of who we are as God's family, but he's also going to remind us and teach us from our passage of everything that Jesus did. Okay, so Jesus' actions. He's going to remind you of the life that Jesus lived, and he's going to remind you and teach you about the life that he's calling you to live and how you are to live your life out in the day and age that God has put you in. In fact, this quote I thought was really helpful. Listen to this. It's a little bit longer. Just stay with it for a second. It says, the Holy Spirit is God, present and active in the lives of Jesus' followers, not to make life rich and comfortable for them, but to equip them to fulfill God's mission for them in the world. It's a mission of helping, serving, healing, restoring, giving, sharing, and loving, a mission of binding up the broken, of being just and striving for justice, of proclaiming the good news that God is King, of taking the gospel everywhere, preaching the message that God has acted to save the world and transform people in and through the life, death, and resurrection of his son, Jesus. So I think the Spirit is also not only going to teach us, remind us of God's story, he's going to remind us of who we are within that story, but he's also going to help us live out who we are in the day and age that God has called us into. And so what you see here is, in my opinion, what Jesus is saying the Spirit is regularly going to do is the Spirit is going to take God's story, put it deeper within us. He's going to remind us of who we are in it and how we are to live out who we are in that. God's story, your identity, and how we are to live out our identity. Now, the next question I have is, so we got what will be, how is the Spirit going to, what is he going to do? What is it that he's going to say? And then I want to ask over here, how do we want to put this? Why does he say it? He's going to do these things. Here's what it is that he's going to say. Why? Why is the Spirit going to take all that Jesus said in his description of God's story, why is he going to take and remind you of your identity and guide you and teach you how to live that out in everyday life? Yeah, yeah. Because it would seem this is a real big story. I'm oftentimes not really caught up into that. Jesus traveling with him was probably someone who was regularly reminding his followers of this. They were confused all the time about who they were, and he's reminding them. They didn't really know how to live that out. And so I think there's great worry and anxiety probably within them to say, without Jesus, how do we do this? How do we really remember this? In fact, I mean, you take even from the story standpoint, you know, If you're a human, your life is being dominated by some story. I promise. You can't operate without one. We are actually made and created to operate and function out of a story. Unfortunately, when Satan convinced Adam and Eve to step outside of God's good story and his purpose for the world that was passed down to you and to me, so Satan convinces them to step out of God's story, and so now what happens is you and I are defined all the time by these small, pathetic stories that promise us hope, that promise us joy, that promise us rescue, but fail us every single day. And so the Spirit is going to speak and remind us of God's story so that we can once again have our lives realigned to the purpose and the mission for God and the world, and once again help us find our joy in God's story. Okay, you take that even it all the way down to identity. Why does the Spirit remind us of who we are? Because our lives are constantly dominated by another story other than God's story. And what do we do with the smaller stories that dominate our lives? We take identities out of those wrong stories that are antithetical to who God says we actually are. We take on wrong identities. And then even with the actions, we do the same thing. Because our lives are dominated by another story other than God's story, and we take on these wrong identities that are toxic and antithetical to who God says that we are, we then end up producing wrong actions in our life. Let me show you a little bit kind of how this works, okay? So we just said that stories shape and give meaning to our lives. Okay, how do they do that? Okay, whatever story that you are dominated by, whatever the story is of your life, it produces within you an identity. You think you are something based upon what the story that you're believing tells you that you are. And you always, always live out what? Who you believe yourself to be. Your story determines your identity, and your identity always determines your what? Your actions. So, if that's the case, let's play around with a little bit of these, okay? So, story, identity, action. You have someone who is spending, hoarding, crippling debt. What story do you think they have bought into? What story has dominated their life? What's that? The American dream has become someone's story. The action is that they spend and spend and spend. They're hoarding. They don't share. They're in crippling debt. That means they believe themselves to be a what? What's the identity that comes out of that? What's that? And just in case you're wondering, like, this is like what you're actually told that you are. It's all over the news. It's all over everything. It's in the commercials. That's identity. You are a consumer so that you can get the goal of the American dream. And so what action do you perform to actually achieve the goal of the story? You spend and spend. You hoard. You don't share. You're in crippling debt, all to achieve the joy that the American dream is actually promising. Does that make sense? Okay, so you could do another one. You could do story, identity, action. You could have someone who does blame shifting, not taking responsibility. They think the problem is always out there. Okay, this potentially comes from someone who has an identity of what? What's that? Procrastinator, potentially. Think, yeah, I was gonna, that's good. I was gonna say even deeper than that. I would actually say victim. Which means that their story that they have been swallowed up in, you could put lots of different things here, but you could put suffering, maybe just as a big picture. And so, again, whatever story that you buy into, you believe yourself to be something within that story, and you will live out whoever you believe yourself to be. This is why this is so essential to what the Spirit does in the life of God's people. Look, what we did over here is just two. Like, we could go on for days and talk about our stories, who we believe ourselves to be, and how that's actually living itself out. We are inundated with wrong stories. And so what the Spirit does is, I love this, Jesus is saying, I'm going to go, but I'm sending you someone that's actually going to do these things inside of this realm. He is going to teach you and lead you and remind you and tell you and speak to you and guide you and push you back into God's story. And so if we put God's story here, our identity would be his family, his missionary family, so that we would live out joy in the world that God has put us into. Imagine a world where God's family was regularly hearing the Spirit regularly remind them of God's story, and that they were then caught up inside of that story, where they believed they were his loved, precious children who had been placed on the earth to live a thriving life of joy through living out being good family to their neighbors, good family to their loved ones, good family to their friends and their coworkers. Imagine a world where God's family looked like that. Imagine with the Spirit taking us deeper into God's story, reminding us deeper of who we are, helping us live out who we are in the places that we are. Imagine what your neighborhood would look like. Imagine what your places of employment would look like. And so we'll just finish with this. How then do we listen? This is the case, and this is what the Spirit wants to say. We know he's going to do this. We know this is what it is that he's going to say. We can see how he's going to use that within these small stories. How is it that we listen? Well, I'm going to give you four ways. Seem like a good number. Number one way that we listen is really, really simple. Listen. Okay? You're like, that's your number one? That is my number one. Listen. I'm going to give you a couple ways to listen. But listen. First way of listening would be to listen as you're going. Listen as you're going in your normal, regular, everyday life. Be listening for the Spirit to do exactly what he says and what Jesus says he is going to do to you. He is going to speak, he's going to remind, he's going to teach. He empowers the people of God to live out who they are, where they are, So he's going to guide you. He's going to do these things while you're there. So the first way of listening is while you're there, on the go, at work, in your neighborhood, in conversations, playing games with friends. As you're going, be in tune and listening to the third person of the Godhead. He's talking to you. Second way of listening is not just while we're on the go, but the second way to listen would actually be to stop being on the go. To actually make space out of your normal going to listen. See, we also know throughout the Bible that the Spirit is also someone who speaks sometimes in a still, small voice. And so we may need to get away from all the noise to actually be able to hear him. This one is the opposite of maybe anything that you're used to. Maybe you're good at this. I am not. Like, to put the brakes on, just sit, do nothing, and listen to God. You know, not a regular practice for me. We see instances of the Spirit speaking to the family of God in both of those ways. So the first way to listen is to listen. Listen on the go and stop going. Second way to listen, I would say, is to pray. I know Ken has talked about this over the past couple weeks, but I want to highlight a couple thoughts here on prayer. Okay? If we're going to listen through praying, you need to know this about prayer. Prayer is a conversation. Tim Chester says, prayer is the conversation of friends. It is not mere convenience for letting God know what we're thinking or what we want. There's certainly elements of that within prayer, no questions asked. Jesus says, ask, right? But prayer is a conversation among friends. And so talk to the Spirit and ask him to speak back. And if you find yourself talking all the time in prayer, you're not in a very good conversation. Listen, most of the time when I pray, I'm just rambling. I'm the one talking. I thought, you know, prayer is me talking to God. Prayer is a conversation. So talk, but ask to hear. Number three. So first is listen, second is pray, third, get yourself into God's story. How do you listen to the Spirit? Get yourself into his story. God wrote out his story for us. It's a wonderful, precious gift that so many people long before us did not have access to. God's word is God's story. The Spirit inspired the very words of your Bible for you to better understand God's story and how you actually fit into that story. You need to immerse yourself in God's story, which means you should read God's word through the lens of his story and understand that he's trying to teach you what he's actually doing in the world and how you fit into that. Who he is, what he's done, who you are, and how you fit in. And then the last way to listen to the Spirit. This one may seem a little strange, but the last one I would say is to actually spend time with God's family. You see, throughout the life of Paul the Apostle, he received instructions all the time about where to go, what to do. How did he get those instructions? From God. He was told through the people, through the family of God that he was connected with. The Spirit talks to God's family, and God's family shares that with each other. He gave similar words of instruction to Timothy. And let me tell you, I cannot tell you how many times the Holy Spirit has spoken to me through the family of God. My family's personal commitment, so the Jones family, our commitment to immersing ourselves into community, has been the primary vehicle we have grown in the good news of Jesus. Because God's family that we live life with all the time is regularly speaking to us. They may not be saying, hey, God told me something to say to you right now. That has happened. In fact, it happened recently to me. Okay? But it's oftentimes just things that people are saying that I just absolutely know right away. This is from God. Like, it just penetrates my heart. I align it with the scriptures. It's so clear it is from God, and there is something that I need to do. There's someone I need to love. God's family is the vehicle by which we can listen to the Spirit. So, what is the Spirit, as we wrap up, what is the Spirit of this discipline? The discipline of listening to the Spirit. I think listening to the real, all-powerful, all-loving Holy Spirit as he speaks, as he reminds, as he teaches, as he speaks, as he tells you God's story. He's going to teach you who you are in that story, how you're to live out who you are in that story, so that we can align our lives better around the gospel for our joy and the joy of our cities. Okay? I'm hoping with just a little bit of looking at John 14, John 16, that it's helpful to hear that this spiritual discipline of listening comes from somewhere. It comes from a person that wants to and is talking to you. He has something very important to tell you and to remind you. And I think there are very simple ways, as we already highlighted, that we can be listening for what he has to say. Listen, I'll close with this. Listening to the Holy Spirit is not hard, it's just unfamiliar. It's unfamiliar. But there are practices, there are exercises. Right now, it's going to be clunky, if you will, as if you're working out and don't know how to do that. Remember going back to the gym for the first time in a long time? It's hard to do those things, but those practices get better, okay? And I believe that listening to the Spirit is an important practice, an important discipline for us to live out who we are in the world and for us to have the joy that God intended us to have in the world, okay? The band can come on up. We're going to pray, and we'll close out our gathering this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Spirit, and we're so thankful that he is active in our life. We are so thankful that we can be good listeners to him and that he will point us to the life of joy. And we pray that we'd be able to do that better this week through what we heard this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.